Our gospel reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Thaimaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. Let us pray. Father God, sometimes we are like that blind beggar. Our eyes are closed to what you have for us. And we cry out to you, "Son of God, Son of David, have mercy on me. Open my eyes that I may see." Lord, I pray that our eyes are open to see the needs around us. But I pray our ears are open this morning and that our hearts are ready to receive your word. And Lord, I pray that the words that I speak are not my own, but yours and yours alone. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Today's sermon is going to be a little different. We're going to have a little bit of a history lesson today, because today is Reformation Sunday. How many of you know what Reformation Day is? Reformation Day is a day that is set aside to recognize, remember, and celebrate the Protestant Reformation. In some countries, it's actually observed as an official holiday. It remembers that God used Martin Luther for the central role that he played in the Reformation movement that split the church from the Western Church of Rome. Reformation Day is actually October 31st of every year, a day that we probably look to more for Halloween than Reformation. But it was October 31st, 1517, when Dr. Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany. It was this very act of Martin Luther's that caused an initial furor that resulted in Reformation. And the reason Martin Luther chose October 31st is because it was the day before All Saints' Day. The doors of the Castle Church faced Main Street. And Martin Luther knew that the next day, November 1st, on All Saints' Day, the church would be filled with people. And many of those people were educated, literate people. So his act of posting his 95 theses on the door would be equivalent today to someone publishing an article in a journal. It would be equal to someone taking an ad out in the newspaper or equal to putting something on the internet. We observe Reformation the Sunday before October 31st. Now, there were numerous reasons identified in these 95 theses that Luther addressed as being objectionable to the teachings and the doctrines, including salvation by works and the practice of selling indulgences. There were those who believed that you could be forgiven of your sin if you received a certificate that was obtained by paying the church, saying that you were absolved of your sin, and you would be handed a certificate. A certificate that promised you salvation and eternal life. Pope Leo X called for the sale of those indulgences in Germany. And the sale of those indulgences were used to complete the construction of St. Peter's Cathedral in Rome. The Pope said that those who purchased these indulgences would be absolved of all of their sin, even some of Luther's parishioners indulged in this. And then they came to Luther and they asked Luther about the validity of these certificates. Did it truly absolve them of all their sins? Did it really give them salvation and eternal life? And it was at this questioning that Luther wrote the 95 Theses. He argued that salvation could not be obtained by purchasing indulgences. Salvation could not be obtained through works of charity. Could not be obtained by making a pilgrimage or by performing any other acts of piety and devotion. He argued that salvation is a gift of God, given by faith through faith in Jesus Christ. God is the one who provides our salvation. It comes by the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So salvation is ours to accept through the blood of Jesus Christ by faith. Not because of any good works that we do. Not because of a pilgrimage that we make. Not by purchasing indulgences or by performing any other acts of piety and devotion. Luther also said, Reformation is the priesthood of all believers, meaning that Christians do not need an intermediary between them and God. See, it was the right and the duty of Christians to enter into their own personal relationship with God. To read our Bibles. For people to worship in their own language. To pray directly to God rather than going through another's effort. As United Methodists today, nearly 500 years after the start of the Reformation, you may ask, why is it significant to us? We're not the direct descendants of Martin Luther in our faith. So why do we even observe it? Our roots are deep in the Anglican faith. Remember, Charles and John Wesley were both priests in the Church of England. But there are a number of reasons that we observe Reformation. The themes of Reformation remain the great themes of the principles of our faith today. The great schism that occurred in the church remains with us. Our fractured denominations have entered into a dialogue and cooperative activities that have brought us closer together. Today we observe Reformation Day with a sense of moving toward unity and community. It's an opportunity for us to repent of our sins. It's an opportunity for us to celebrate together our common faith, even if we cannot celebrate a common ritual and sacrament. Reformation today can represent healing of old wounds together, and we all work to build and strengthen Christ's church and the love one another as Christ loves us. As I shared that history with you, it brings to mind what is happening in our church today, in the United Methodist Church. As we look to the issue of human sexuality, we all know that we are facing a schism in the United Methodist Church. This debate has been going on for decades. For 40 or more years, it has been brought before General Conference. There have been General Conferences that have been shut down because the debate has become so heated. I'd like us to remember that we're talking about God's people. We're talking about people who love Jesus. People who are passionate about making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. So why the debate? It actually comes down to interpretation. How is it that we can read the exact same words that God has given to us in Holy Scripture and interpret it differently? In the United Methodist Church, as we study Scripture and how it is that God is speaking to us, we use what is called the Wesleyan Quadrilateral. We look at Scripture, we look at reason, we look at tradition, and we look at experience. What this means for us is Scripture is our primary source. It has authority. It's where our standard is for Christian doctrine. Tradition is experience. And the witness of the development and the growth of our faith from past centuries and in many nations and many cultures. We need to remember that we are a denomination that lives throughout the entire world. And so our cultures are very different. The development of our faith is different even for each of us. Experience is our individual understanding and appropriating of the faith in light of our own lives. Through reason, the individual Christian brings to bear on the Christian faith discerning and cognant thought. So we use these four elements of Scripture, reason, tradition, and experience together to bring the individual Christian to a mature and fulfilling understanding of the Christian faith. and what that means for us in our worship and in our service. So what happens when we use these four components and we still disagree? Well, in the United Methodist Church, what was done was a commission was formed called a Commission on the Way Forward to come together and to recommend how it is that we can remain one church with our differences, how it is that with our differences we can continue to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Do we have the exact answer of how that can be done? I don't know, but I know God does. I know God has that answer. And so I know that we have to be in prayer and we have to trust God's prompting and leading us. In your bulletin you saw there's going to be a round table discussion about the process that the United Methodist Church is taking. I invite you to come out on Saturday, November 17th at 10 a.m. to the Church of the Good Shepherd to hear about this process as we look at this issue that is a threat to the United Methodist denomination, an issue that very likely will cause a schism. But I can tell you here at Wesley United Methodist Church, if everyone here sat down to have a round table discussion, well, let me ask you, would we all agree? We wouldn't, would we? There would be disagreement among us. So how is it that we move forward in disagreement? First and foremost, we must love one another. And then we must listen to one another. Truly listen. Listen to those whose opinions are different than ours. It must be a safe place where we are able to share our thoughts and our convictions without fear of being ridiculed or belittled. It means that as we have these discussions, we don't debate about them. But we first and foremost pray for God to give us His Word and to share how God is speaking to us as we use the Wesleyan Quadrilateral for living out God's Word. His Word, which has been given to us for all times and all places. It's about being able to live together with one another, even when we don't agree with each other. See, it's not for me to tell you how you must think, and it's not for any of you to tell another how they must think. John Wesley actually said, think and let think. However, what we are to do is to read God's Word, study God's Word, spend time in prayer, be open to God's Holy Spirit as the Spirit speaks to us. Allow the Spirit to guide us and possibly convict us in our own personal thoughts and agenda. See, God loves the world so much that He sent His Son into the world. Not to condemn the world, but that through Him the world might be saved. Jesus calls us to love God with all of our heart,
all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. So my prayer is that we here at the Wesley United Methodist Church in Tyrone always walk together even in our differences. That we continue to build and strengthen Christ's church as we love one another, even those whom we may not totally agree with. That we continue to love those who are here with us and those who are not yet here, so that disciples are made and the world is transformed. Amen.